Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dean Blandino joins us now, Fox Sports NFL rules analyst, former NFL official. How you doing, Dean?
I'm doing good.
It's nice to see you in person after seeing you on TV every Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, great to be here.
Tell me, first of all, what it's like to call one of these games, because we sit and have you ever officiated a Super Bowl or not?
I've been the replay official for a couple of Super Bowls. Yeah.
Let's talk about that. How quickly can you turn things around? Is it a group decision? Is it one guy deciding this? Because a lot is weighing on us.
A lot. It's a collaborative decision. You have. The referee, the replay official, the command center official, replay supervisor. So you're all looking at the play, looking at the pertinent angles, and then kind of discussing it and then coming to a decision. And ultimately, it would be the command center, if there is any kind of dispute or debate about it, they would make the final call.
Is there often, do you have a hard time finding a consensus on, say, what's a catch, what's not a catch?
Usually, no. I mean, for the most part, everybody's on the same page. There are always going to be those plays where maybe there's a little gray area, because it's such, catch, no catch is subjective.
Right.
Control and time element and things like that, football move. So you do get sometimes some conversation, but usually we're on the same page.
What do you think of the rules when it comes to what's a catch, what's not? I hear you and the announcers sometimes talk about, I don't know what's a catch, what isn't a catch, and you use the word subjective just now. You got people, I hate to say it, but the NFL's embraced gambling, so there's a lot of money involved in whether it's a catch or whether it's not a catch, not just with prop bets, but with over totals, over, under, everything else, yardage, is there anything you would like to see done, or you would advise them to do with the rules to make it a little bit more objective?
Yeah, that's always the goal. If you can make things more objective and make it simpler for the officials, because the more subjectivity, the more gray area, that makes it tougher. So, as you think about rules changes and things like that, that's kind of what you want for your officials. Because like you said, there's so much riding on these games, and it's not just, who wins and loses sometimes. A lot of people care about those bets, like you said.
When it comes to the things like penalties that are not reviewable, correct?
Yeah.
How hard is it for you to be honest? Because, you've been on a field, right? And it's hard to make that split-second decision, and I'll get to that in a minute, because that's a completely different animal. People don't understand, and I think you guys do a hell of a job of getting it right, because it's happening in real time. And it's easy to go back and go frame by frame and see what's going on, but I don't know. You got seconds to react to this.
You just said it, and that's the disconnect between on-field officiating and how we look at the game. An on-field official is going to make the decision at full speed from their perspective, and then we get to evaluate their decision based on four or five different slow motion angles. So, and if you've ever stood on the sideline for an NFL game, it is fast, and these things are happening really quickly, and that's what makes it a very challenging profession.
Not only is it fast, but it's scary because, man, if you've been on the sideline of a game,
yeah, you could be in the way.
Absolutely,
yes. Yeah.
That's like tractor trailers running around. I always said anything that big moving that fast ought to have Southern Pacific painted on the side of it, right? Dean Blandino is nice enough to spend some time with us. We're gonna take a quick break, then we'll pick it up. We come back, Dean, if you don't mind. We have a text screen where people can text in their questions.
Yeah, sure.
So
sure.
We'd like, if you have any questions about NFL officiating, here's your chance, 504-260-1870. Dean Blandino is our guest. He's a Fox Sports rules analyst for the NFL. It's 7:42, 18 till 8. We're live here at the Host Committee's Media Center on Radio Row in the Convention Center, powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith & Soso. Tommy Tucker back in a flash with more from Dean Blandino here on WWL. 8 back with Dean Blandino. He's going to be in the booth. He's a replay official, the rules official for Fox Sports. He'll be in the booth with Tom Brady and Kevin Burkhardt calling the game on Sunday. How hard is it for you to look at a replay? And do you, first of all, do you, Dean, just call it balls and strikes like you see it and then let whatever unfolds in New York unfold in New York? Is that how?
Yeah, that's pretty much the approach. I try to explain the rule. Here's what they're looking at so the viewers understand kind of what's going on. But then you've got to give your opinion. So I try to look at it and say, hey, if I were making this decision, here's what I would do. And and then if it comes back different, then I can explain maybe a different perspective. But you just try to call it like you see.
I don't want you to name any names or call anybody out. But have there been instances where it was obvious that the coaches didn't know the rules?
Well, there's been situations, especially with replay, where they throw a challenge flag and it's not a reviewable play. So you're always working with the coaches on that, especially when replay was new. Mm-hmm. I think they've done a really good job. Every team has somebody that's responsible to help the head coach. They're upstairs usually in the coach's box. Hey, we got to challenge this, or here's the rule here. So it's gotten a lot better than where it was.
And it does change during the playoffs, does it not? And especially during the Super Bowl, where an official is assigned to either a coach or a coaching staff on the sideline and in the booths as well to help them with the rule interpretation, keep everything moving along.
Yeah, in the postseason, you have alternate officials who are not in the regular season. So those alternate officials, there's one assigned to each sideline that will work with the head coach, and that can help them get that information. So it really helps in the postseason to have those.
And when it comes to expedited replay, one question I always had as a fan is, why can't we do this every game?
All the time. Yeah. I know. Look, some decisions take a little longer. I think the league has done a good job with expediting some of the reviews, because that's the biggest thing. You don't want to be standing around waiting. And if you have the video, let's make the decision and keep the game moving.
Let me get to this, because 1,000 people are texting in on it. We did 2 weeks on it after it happened. The famous no call against the Rams.
Yes, yes.
It sucked. It is what it is. A long time ago.
Yes.
But is there any way you could alter the rules to prevent that from happening in the future? Because some things have changed, right? After Garrett Hartley's field goal in the NFC Championship, they changed the rules. They changed the onside kick rules. We had Thomas Morstead here yesterday. Anything they could do to prevent something like that from happening?
Well, they did change the rule after the no call, and the next year they had pass interference that was reviewable, and it didn't really go very well. And I think they kind of struggled with finding a consistent standard. I think you could put something back in place and have replay help with those types of decisions, but ultimately that comes down to the officials on the field and getting them in the right position and on the same page to make that call.
Somebody said, please ask the tough question, was it pass interference? It was, without doubt, pass interference.
Clearly pass interference.
Let me ask you this. If Tommy Lewis, I think was the guy, Tommy Lee Lewis was a player, if he flops on that play and he lays down there as though he's hurt, do you think he gets that call?
I don't think so. Officials are gonna officiate the play, not the aftermath. I just think those officials from their angles didn't think it was a foul. Obviously, that was wrong. It should have been a flag, should have had multiple flags, and that's something I know that people here in New Orleans especially are not over yet.
This is a good question, and I've always wondered about that as well, how a coach can win a challenge, but yet you only get three, because it would seem as though if you correct a mistake, then it shouldn't count against you. You should keep your challenges as long as you keep correcting mistakes. Thoughts that would delay the game too much?
I think that's the key. I think you try to keep it limited to where the big plays the coach could challenge, and you don't want to keep going and keep going, because then they're going to challenge every little thing, and then we're going to have a bunch of unnecessary stops.
Somebody wants to know about objectivity when it comes to holding penalties. And you know the cliche, you can call holding on every call, and would that ever be anything that would be subject to a review or anything like that?
That's hard because, like you said, I think there's an opportunity to call holding on every play because there is a lot of grabbing that takes place on the offensive line. But then you have to consider other factors. Does it have an impact on the play, right? Is it at the point of attack? Because if it's a hold all the way on one end of the field and the run is going the other way, there's no advantage or disadvantage there. So I think that's the toughest thing with holding in terms of making it reviewable, understanding all the factors that go into what is actually a foul.
On an unrelated note, I was at the Pelican-Celtics game on Friday night. I don't know how the hell NBA officials call games because they have hands all over each other. I don't know. Do you understand it?
Basketball is, I think it's probably the hardest game to officiate because there's we talk about opportunity to call holding. There's so much opportunity in basketball with all the contact to call fouls, and how do they... And I'm not a basketball rule
expert.
No, but
you understand what I'm saying. As an official, I wanted to ask you that.
It's hard.
And I know you got to go, but real quick, what about putting a chip in the football when it comes to first down and that kind of thing?
They are testing that. There is a chip in the football. There's a lot of factors there where it's not like tennis where it's just the ball and the line. You've got a lot of bodies, right? You got to find the football, in that sometimes mass of bodies. When is the knee down? When did the official blow the whistle for forward progress? So I think there's other things that go into it, but I think the league is going to continue to test, and we may see that technology at some point in the future.
Your people are telling my people you got to go, but I got to ask you real quick. Do you do anything to prepare for a game? Do you watch game film of the two teams?
Sure.
Look for tendencies or what?
Yeah, you look at game film. You look at tendencies. You look at what they like to do. Maybe it's short yardage. How do they play on the defense?
But with an eye toward penalties,
do they play more aggressively in the secondary? Is there going to be more opportunity for holding or pass interference, things like that? So that's kind of what you're looking for, and kind of what the officiating crew is looking at now as they prepare for the game.
My people are coming into my periphery now, which means it's time for you
to
go.
Your people will call my people, and we'll do lunch.
Dean,
sometime.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure meeting you. And you do a great job. Have a great call on Sunday of the game.
Thank you
all
so
right?
much. Thanks.
Dean Blandino, Fox Sports rules analyst. He'll be in the booth with Kevin Burkhardt and Tom Brady on Sunday. Tommy Tucker back in a flash, WWL. Can I get a picture?